This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, and September has arrived. And Dan, no matter the sport, of course, you're the golf coach at Litchfield. Great weather for golf, great weather for football we've had through the first 2 weeks.
Really has been. Well, you see a lot of the early cramping. There has been a little bit in the games that I've seen so far, but not to the volumes that you normally see in football games. And you're right, as far as golf goes, we've had two 18-hole tournaments so far, and where normally we're just drenched at the end of it, it's been very comfortable. Can't beat this weather.
Absolutely not. Last night in the South Central Conference, in games heard on FM 106, Carlinville beat Gillespie 63-20, and Vandalia beat Hillsboro 26-7. Of course, Dan, you had the call of that Vandalia-Hillsboro game, and I think on the schedule, that was definitely the marquee matchup of the night in the South Central.
It really was. Gary and I were really hoping to see The score does not reflect how close that game was. Hillsboro had some great runs of momentum, moving the ball, and it wasn't so much where they got in their own way or shot themselves in the foot or anything like that. Vandalia would step up and make some good plays. An outstanding team with size, speed. Vandalia is really, I think, a contender in the South Central right now, the way things stand with everybody being healthy and everything being equal. They're gonna be a tough team to beat.
Hillsboro 0-2 to start the year, but with losses to Carlinville and Vandalia, I still like the chances of Hillsboro to be a playoff team.
Absolutely. I was talking to John Lentz last night, Gunnar Lentz's dad, and you know, he said we're 0-2, but we've got the bulk and worst of our schedule, they think, out of the way, where now they got a little room they can relax and play some games and kind of find their rhythm a little bit. And yeah, I think 6-3 is very reasonable. 5-4 at absolute worst for the Hilltoppers.
Last night in Carlinville, the Cavaliers scored early and often as they took their first play from scrimmage for a 70-yard touchdown with Kyle Dixon, then recovered an onside kick. So really before Gillespie could even blink, it was kind of like Carlinville's experience in the state championship game last year where they were down so quick, so early, before you even realized what happened. And that's kind of what happened to the Miners last night.
Well, on the Miners, they had a similar situation against Vandalia last week where they jumped on them early, giving up 49 points in the first half. So, and that's tough. You know, you're outside your playbook all of a sudden. If you're scripted, the script's gone out the window and trying to recover. And Carlinville and Vandalia both are teams that they're so explosive. They're so explosive that they can put you down early if you're not out of the gate fast.
And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. Good morning, Chad.
Morning, guys.
Well, the Carlinville explosiveness, it showed itself last night.
Yeah, you know, we got a...
Uh-oh, I think Randy just hung up on Chad.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I did. I'll get him back.
We got a rookie producer here, Randy Prang, hanging up on Chad. All right, well, we'll get Chad Easterday back on the phone, and maybe Randy won't hang up on him the next time. The beauty of live radio.
There you go.
You just never know. But last night, we saw Carlinville. They had touchdowns of 70 yards, 67 yards, and 60 yards.
Very well, in the game we saw, you know, three touchdowns of 60 or plus yards out of Vandalia too. When we look down the schedule, what a marquee match that is with the Vandals and the Cavies hooking up. And by that time in the season, they're both going to have themselves figured out. They're going to have the wrinkles ironed out. It's great that it's happening later rather than early, where, you know, both teams are going to be hitting on all cylinders at that point, and that's going to be a tight matchup.
All right, I think we have Chad back on the phone. Chad?
Good morning.
All right. Hey, Chad. I guess Randy didn't like what you were about to say, so he decided to disconnect the call.
Yeah, I thought maybe I dropped it on my end or something, but no. To pick up where we left off, I believe, you know, we were able to do some things we didn't get to do week one, and, you know, definitely showed that we're very well balanced, I think.
Absolutely, and as that game wore along, it seemed to me like, once again, your offensive line play is going to be the strength of your club this year.
Yeah, you know, I thought our pass protection was really well last night and those types of things. But, you know, they're well-versed up there. We had time to throw the ball, you know, that type of thing.
Chad, through 2 weeks here, both Hillsboro and Gillespie, they have really tried to attack you guys with the deep pass. Not necessarily a lot of success there, but has it surprised you that early teams are challenging you guys over the top?
Well, you know, traditionally we have been a man-to-man team, and I think teams are slowly starting to – our front four are pretty good in the dirt, so we try our best to play a lot of man coverage and those types of things. So teams are trying to take advantage of that or to try to hit us with some explosive plays like they hit us or we hit them with. And I think that chess match started. And, you know, it's a gamble on both sides because when you do that, obviously the clock's not running if it's an incomplete pass and you turn the ball over on downs quickly, those types of things, which kind of plays into our defensive hand as long as we can play that tight coverage.
Donovan King, of course, played a lot for you last year. But, boy, this year might be a coming-out party for him.
Yeah, he plays really good defense. Like I said, returning corner from last year. And then is playing a big role on offense this year. Had a great catch going down the sideline. Jared put the ball right on the money early on to get some points up early on for us.
And Jared, in his, I guess, first full year as a varsity starter, man, he can spin it, Chad. He puts it right on the money.
Well, I tell you what, you're right. He does. Yeah, he showed that last night. His ability to get the ball out quickly, I think, is something that, is his strength. You know, the ball is on the flank so fast, and then his accuracy down the field, I was very impressed with last night. We didn't get the chance to do that a lot week one against Hillsboro. So, you know, it was kind of a coming out party for him, and hopefully that confidence will carry on through the next couple weeks. He had a big game last night for us.
Ted, you mentioned your defensive front. You got a lot of big boys on there, but Max Rogers might be the smallest weight-wise, but my goodness, he seems unblockable.
Yeah, when you end up with Dan Card and Gabe Long in the middle, then you're able to turn a kid like Max Rogers, who is, track kid, triple jumper, very fast, very physical individual. He becomes that little morph player that you hear so much about all the time that, you know, he can play a little end, he can play a little linebacker, he does some different things that he really causes you matchup problems in there when he's against a tackle, for example. So you've either got to make a choice to leave a running back in there to block him or take your chances with your tackle.
Chad, you guys are off to a 2-0 start. As you look at your club, forget about the record, but what is something that you look at film and say, boy, we got to improve that here moving forward?
I thought we had to clean up some penalties last night. We gave them field position with some dumb penalties. I thought, you know, we should have been cleaner in that aspect of the game. I think you always, as a coach, sit down and evaluate your play calling, or at least I do. You know, even in games like last night that might have been a little lopsided, you always think about those things that you could have called differently at that situation, that type of thing. That's me personally. But penalties for us is a big issue, I believe. And I think that's something we need to clean up. But I think that's some of our youth showing a little bit as well.
Of course, Gillespie, they have a lot of youth on their side. And, Chad, looking at that minor team, in a couple years, they're going to be a big handful.
Yeah, they have a great freshman group, and they are young. And they just need to keep working at it, so to speak. And, they may have some bumps. And their schedule, when we flip the schedule, is loaded on the heavy end, or on the front end, not on the heavy end so much. So I've experienced that personally myself. So sometimes it's a little difficult to keep everything together. But if that happens, we'll have to wait and see how it goes for them.
Well, for years you guys have played Litchfield in Week 9, new schedule this year, so you're coming to Litchfield next week.
Yeah, that's like we've talked before, I enjoyed the change in the schedule. Coach Priddle over there is doing a good job. I know they had a great game last night, just didn't come out on the right end of it. So, I know they got some low numbers over there, but he seems to have the energy going, and, we'll prepare like it's any other week. So, they're up and coming.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Best of luck next week, and we'll talk to you on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Chad Easterday, the head coach of the 2-0 Carlinville Cavaliers. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll catch up with Topper head coach Aaron Duff following these messages on WSMI.
Now back to the Sports Saturday Show with WSMI's Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
All right, thank you very much, Randy. We've been having some phone issues out here at the radio station the last week or so, and I guess we're still having some phone issues this morning. So we'll get that ironed out here as we go along here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll try to make contact with head coach Aaron Duff here in just a moment. Let's run down some more of the scores. We gave you the South Central action earlier. In the Sangamo Conference last night, North Mac beat New Berlin 28-21. Williamsville over Auburn 49-7. Plains shut out Riverton 34-0. Athens over Porta 48-0. and Maroa Forsyth blanked Pittsfield 47-0. So a lot of lopsided games in the second one last night outside of the North Mac game. And boy, they've played a lot of close games over the last few years.
Yeah, they really have.
They win them all, though.
As I say, they always seem to come out on top. New coach this year, but it seems like they've transitioned well.
And Williamsville, you know, a couple years ago, they had a quote-unquote down year by their standards. They came back last year with a strong year. You go to Auburn and win by 42. That's nothing short of impressive.
That's a big win. That tough road game at Auburn, so you know they were up for it. But, you know, Auburn is that perennial powerhouse in that conference, and Williamsville's back to being for real.
Upset last night in the Central State 8. Decatur MacArthur beat Sacred Heart Griffin 34-32.
Wow, that's shocking. I hadn't seen that in the paper, and that's the kind of thing. You know, I find myself not even looking early at the Sacred Heart Griffin scores because you just assume. And so, yeah, I'm sure that was a stunner.
I don't know the last time they lost in September. But
at Springfield?
That I am not sure. I think it was at Decatur.
At Decatur, okay. Yeah. Well, boy, that's a tough road loss for them.
Rochester beat Chatham Glenwood 63-20. Springfield High over Jacksonville 49-0. And Normal U High beat Eisenhower 28-0. In the Apollo Conference last night, it was Effingham over Taylorville 50-37. Muhammad Seymour down Charleston 24-12, and Mount Zion beat Lincoln 34-13. In the Cahokia Conference, Trenton Westland over Redbud 49-14. Berea Central beat Salem 33-18, and Carlisle over Freeburg 48-27. Non-conference last night, you knew it was going to be tough for Nokomis going to 1A state runner-up Decatur St. Teresa, and it was 40-0 St. Teresa with the win last night. South Mac picked up their first win in program history over Farmer City Blue Ridge 53-6. And for South Mac, the Bunker Hill Mount Olive Co-op first program win. We'll have them on the radio next week when they will host Pawnee at Bunker Hill. And I think we have Aaron Duff on the phone. Duffy? Is Duffy there? Perhaps Duffy is not there. Phone issues here at WSMI on this Saturday morning. That is unfortunate. It sounds like he should be there, but he is not there. Randy is not happy. Randy is one angry man. Randy's thinking, now, why did I agree to stay this extra hour? It ain't going to happen again, he says. I don't blame him. Alden Marquette beat Breeze Modern Day 18-0. Warrensburg Latham over South Fork 58-0. It was Wood River beating CM 21-7. Highland over Belleville East 63-33. Jersey beat Metamora 27-21. Carrollton over Beardstown 29-23. Calhoun beat Jacksonville Route 54-14. Triopia over Pleasant Hill 34-32. Camp Point Central beat North Green 50-12. Minden Unity over Winchester 26-20. Columbia beat Waterloo 31-25. It was Shelbyville over Cerro Gordo 52-12. North Fulton beat Havana 24-14. Triad over Collinsville 44-7. And Decatur Lutheran beat Macon Meridian last night 30-13. There are a couple of games scheduled for today. Pawnee will be playing at 50 in Oakwood at 2 o'clock, and Dupo is on the road at Seneca. We'll take a break. Back with more Sports Saturday in a moment. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturdays, we continue to try to work out our phone issues here on this Saturday morning, the second day of September. As coming up next week, we will have Pawnee at South Mac. That'll be the live game at 7 o'clock. That will be played in Bunker Hill. And then our second game will be Carlinville at Litchfield. Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hilltoppers, I think maybe, possibly with us. Can you hear me, Duffy? I guess not. Not quite sure what has happened with our phone system, but it has betrayed us here on this Saturday morning. Dan, this is the beauty of live radio. There's the dial tone on the air. We heard that. Randy's going to slap the taste out of something in that control room in about 3 minutes, I have a feeling. Well, then let's talk about the Hillsboro-Vandalia game last night. I think it was 12-7 at the half, and the Toppers were right there.
They really were. First quarter was almost all Vandalia. They came out, they had a lot of momentum defensively, they made a lot of great stops and threes and out. And then in the second quarter, you could feel this shift of momentum coming in, and Hillsboro starting to get some traction and starting, and then finally getting the end zone. Hillsboro is maybe one of the best home field advantages in the conference, I believe, with the crowd and how much they get behind them. And you could just feel the momentum swelling and the energy swelling. And it did. Going into halftime, it really looked like we were in for a great second half, which we were. Like we talked about, Hillsborough did a lot of things right. I think probably most of the things they were wanting to do. They kind of reminded me of the old quote from Remember the Titans. It was kind of like Novocaine. They just kept running the triple I. They just kept pounding Hernandez and Deming and then slashing with Lentz. And it was starting to work. You know, those 0 and 1 yard gains in the first half were starting to turn into 3 and 5 yard gains in the second half. They were getting some momentum. And it was almost like Vandalia caught their breath. And all that speed and all that power took over again, and they shifted it. Coach Clay shifted it into high gear, and they started getting explosive again. Trevor Smalls, the running back slash backup Wildcat quarterback for Vandalia, really took over in the second half. And it wasn't so much exposed some weak spots in the defense of Hillsborough. They just took over and made some great plays.
And you look at Hillsborough, yeah, they're 0-2, but you have to look how they got 0-2. Oh. They played Carlinville tough in week one, played Vandalia tough in week two. Now they'll go on the road for week three at Roxana. And certainly Hillsborough didn't want to start 0-2. But when you looked at the schedule, even though they were both home games, it wasn't going to be a surprise if Carlinville and Vandalia both were able to get Hillsborough in the first couple weeks of the year. But I don't think that that hurts Hillsborough's chances at the playoffs one bit.
I don't think so at all. In fact, you know, it's hard to say that at 0-2 you're sitting in a good place. I think they played two excellent football teams and played them excellently. They really did a lot of things right. They were able to recapture momentum in both those games. They were able to have sustained periods of good football, of positive football, where over the next 3 to 4 weeks, that's going to become apparent. They're going to kick it into high gear now, and that triple I. It's good to see the triple I back in Hillsborough. They're doing some interesting things with it. They got Dylan Civitate at quarterback, who has played some offensive line in the past, and he's a big boy. Dylan's a big boy back there. So when they have that option now where they're running a power football game, and they have a fourth running back almost now with Dylan Civitate, who can hang onto the ball, put his head down, and get tough yards. And I don't know if they worry so much about him taking some hits, because he is such a big physical kid. They can run him inside as much as they want and still be able to – it's almost like a fourth threat that they have in that backfield.
And you don't see many kids that double as the quarterback and linebacker.
Right, yeah. In this day and age with the – you know, but the spread and, you know, it's almost kind of softened football a little bit. It's great to see Hitsville coming back to just meat and potatoes. Dig it in the dirt. You know what? We're going to kick you and see if you kick us back football. And Dylan Civitate is a perfect quarterback for that offense.
And it does feel like Hillsborough's maybe gotten back to that old school Hillsborough type of style, where they're just going to line up and they're going to smash you.
Yeah. We're going to punch you in the mouth. We're going to punch you in the mouth and see if you can take it and what you can give back. And they did not at any point seem discouraged. Their foot's on the gas pedal and going fast and going hard. And offensive line for Hillsborough deserves a lot of credit in the periods of success they've had over the last 2 weeks, where they're just in there blocking their butts off and just working hard up front. I think is the unsung hero of that team right now. Those five guys up front, Peyton Tester in the middle, and then his buddies outside him have just done an outstanding job.
Hillsborough's at Roxana next week, at Staunton in week four, and then homecoming against Gillespie on week five. So, it's week to week. You can't take anything for granted in this conference. But Hillsborough has a real chance to maybe put together a little winning streak here.
And it is. You're hanging your sanity on 16 and 17-year-old kids, which, you know, from a coaching standpoint, I had hair when I started this thing. So, I like their next 3 weeks. I like their next 3 weeks. I like their chances. I think they can really, really build a lot of positive momentum going into then. Then they're looking at Pena. They're looking at some probably, you know, the next biggest threat in their schedule, I think. But they're going to get some momentum going into that. And I like their chance. They're a playoff team. They're a playoff team, barring, you know, we hate to talk about injuries. We hate to talk about things like that. But they're a playoff football team just waiting to happen.
Let's talk a little bit about Litchfield, Dan. Of course, you're familiar with the Purple Panthers. You are around the kids and the team a good amount, being involved at Litchfield. We heard Chad mention their numbers are down this year, but boy, last night they competed and they almost pulled it out.
I was getting text messages from someone at the game, and we got down early. and then just battled back, which was, I think, a great sign of the growth that Coach Priddle has brought to us, keeping that energy up, keeping in the past, we had trouble. We struggled coming back from behind. We were down 30-20 at one point. We were down by 15 points at one point, and then wound up taking the lead, and then just having a tough. I'm not sure what the. I haven't talked to anybody for exactly what that last play with 40 seconds left was, but putting them in a position. And again, similar to Hillsboro, I think some momentum to gain and some confidence built, even in a loss. That I think is going to serve them well over the next few weeks.
Especially the way that week one went. I mean, that was about as bad of a start as they could have hoped for. So to be able to rebound like they did and compete in week two, their spirits have to be in a pretty good spot heading into next week.
Absolutely. When you look at the high school football schedule, you really only get really two strong practices a week. Mondays, film, recovery. You know, Thursday is, you know, we're doing walkthrough, we're doing something like that. So that really leaves Tuesday and Wednesday to do as much as I think they did in two practices in 1 week for the situation that they're dealing with. I think shows a lot to Coach Priddle, Coach Ripley, and the rest of the staff, and just really did a great job of getting their heads back in the game and getting them reorganized. I'm really proud. I'm a Panther, and so like to see them do well, and was really, really pleased to see, you know, how they did over Southwestern.
Dan Carlson on the phone. Mr. Carlson, can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
Hey, all right. We've had some phone issues here this morning, so we're always happy to talk to our coaches, but boy, are we glad to hear your voice right now, Mr. Carlson. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Well, you guys, you're 2 weeks into your head coaching tenure, and a lot like we've seen from North Mac the last few years. Close games, but you guys are pulling them out.
Yeah, you know, my mom keeps yelling at me that I'm not doing good for her heart right now, so.
You better tell her to get used to it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to North Mac football.
Oh, yeah, right. My mom and my wife, they just keep yelling at me. They're like, you know, win big, we can't keep dealing with these close games and nail biters like that. So we're trying to, you know, it's one of those things that there's huge expectations around the school. But, you know, when you look at the guys that we have returned, not very many of them have that varsity experience yet. And so we're still in a very big learning process so early on in our season here. And I think, you know, you see the biggest gains between weeks one and week two, and we're very happy with what we saw. And so we're really looking forward to next week and just, you know, really fine-tuning those little things that we talked about this morning on film. So,
and Dan, I know over the last couple of years, Shane Owsley would always tell us during our Saturday morning chats that he wasn't looking to have a good team. He wanted to build a program. And I think the foundation is there. As you mentioned, you lost a lot from that state semifinal team a year ago. But do you feel that the kids that return to the program have kind of accepted the fact that there's a standard and a tradition that is expected to be upheld?
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of the things around here. And, you know, that week one a game against Porter, I think, was one of the best things for us, is the fact that, you know, we came out there with a win, which was the most important part. But we're also really happy that, you know, and first and foremost, that Porter team is a very well-coached team. It's a very good team. I think that they're going to surprise a lot of people this year. But I think it was great how that game happened, because our kids realized that we're not last year's team. People aren't going to roll over just because of the fact that we walk in there and that we're wearing the North Mac black and black and Columbia blue, that they're not just going to roll over, and that we need to create and forge our own identity. So I think that our kids are accepting that, they're putting that on their back, and you know, that they realize that that's what the expectation is around here, and that they've got to earn that too. It's not just something that's given to them.
Coach, I had the opportunity to catch you guys in the playoffs last year, and what a pleasure that was. I got to make a trip down to Anna and watching you guys play. And part of the question as they were moving forward was, gosh, you're losing so much. Would they be able to make that transition? And then the news came through that there was going to be a change at the head coaching position. But so there was a lot of change and transition coming through. But it's you know, I basically want to congratulate you guys on making that transition well and upholding that mantle and picking up North Mac football and carrying on.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, and all of it goes to the kids, to be honest with you. You know, the kids are the ones that have to bear the brunt of that. And, you know, they've taken the challenge and they've accepted it. And they've really, really risen to the occasion. I mean, this year, the motto that we chose for this year was Rise Above. And, you know, you see the preseason rankings and you see the different things coming out and the expectation levels for the teams. And, you know, losing Coach Owsley and Coach Smith, and everybody was talking about the seniors that we lost. And this year's team, they really kind of got a chip on their shoulder because, you know, no one really, you know, because of all that change, because of all the losses that we did take, that nobody really expected very much of us. And so, you know, the kids have really risen and taken that and used it kind of as a badge of honor, and that's kind of what their rallying cry has been, is Rise Above. You know, the losses that we've taken, and, you know, the motto is next man up, you know, so.
That's the way it has to be, especially in this sport of football. And, Dan, you guys were state-ranked at the start of the year, along with Williamsville and Moreau, Forsyth, and Athens. I mean, this Sangamo Conference, year in, year out, what a gauntlet.
Oh, I mean, it's incredible, the talent that's in this conference. And, you know, especially coming from North Mac, it's funny that, you know, everybody talks about the losses that we took, but at the same time, everybody's gunning for it. Everybody wants to take down North Mac because of what Coach Allen was able to do and that senior group was able to do the last 2 years. That we do have this target on our back. We have the bullseye there that, you know, despite the fact that we're in probably one of the toughest conferences, you know, in the state.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's gunning for us. We don't get a week off. We don't get a break or anything else like that. And our kids realize that. And, you know, another motto that we have is Team X. You know, it doesn't matter who we line up against. We need to bring our A game because they're going to bring their A game.
In not many conferences can you be state-ranked to potentially be the underdog.
Right.
Well, you know, that was one of the things when those conference rankings were coming out, we kind of joked about it. You know, you saw the rankings of where people thought we were going to fall in the conference, and then, you know, we come out at ranked, I think it was 8 in the state at 3A, and we're like, man, that's funny.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you begin to look at 1A and 2A, and you're like, oh, well, you know, the other teams that are ranked above, you know, that were projected above us in the conference are also ranked in their own divisions respectively, too. So, you know, it's a daunting task, and, you know, I mean, even the so-called bad or lower-tier teams, if you will, you know, I mean, if they were in any other conference, they'd be playoff contenders. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Coach, you say funny, but I don't think you're talking funny. Ha ha. and I love an approach as a longtime coach. I love a team approach of why not us? Why not us? And it sounds like you guys are in that position where you're saying, you know what, why not us? And it's a dangerous team. That's a dangerous team because they're playing with nothing to lose. They're playing with everything on the line, and they go out every Friday night and really put it out there. And, again, to be congratulated for getting the kids in that position where they're going to go out and they're going to compete against some powerhouses in the state of Illinois, and you're going to compete.
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of the things that, you know, we're really working on is getting that killer instinct. Is one of our things last year was we didn't really start as fast as we wanted to, you know, because we knew that we had the horses to kick it in the second half or whatever. And that when North Mac last year wanted to play, there was very few people that could stand and play with them. And so we realized that we didn't have the horses that we did this year, so we need to play fast from the get-go and make sure that, you know, we put up the pedal to the metal and don't let up. But, you know, it's still a work in progress. You know, we got all those young guys, and you talked about building that program earlier. I think that's one of our bigger strong point. The strong point that we're going to have in the future is the fact that we're rolling a lot of younger guys in there, so we're going to get a lot of experience down the line here, you know, because we are rolling a lot of sophomores. You know, we got Bryce Hyler at running back for us, and last night he didn't get as many touches on the ball as we had hoped because game plan wise we wanted to run between the tackles, and he's more of our outside guy, but you know, him getting that varsity experience is so invaluable in the years to come. When Gage Gibson, who is just a workhorse for us last night, we're still putting together all the stats and tracking and grading right now, but he was just, him and Malink were just warriors for us in there that, you know, we're getting a lot of experience at that underage level that, you know, so next year we won't have as much of a drop-off as we did this year.
You got the Saukies coming to town next week. What do you know about Pittsfield at this point?
Well, you know, Pittsfield, like every other team in this conference is you never know what you're going to get. You know, the fact that despite what they look like on film, that they're going to come ready to play. They're going to come ready to try to punch us in the mouth and try and get one squeak by us. You know, they're that team that has nothing to lose right now. I mean, they're playing as if their back's against the wall, and that's the most dangerous animal right there. So, you know, we just need to focus on us, correct the little things that we made wrong. We had three mental errors on defense that cost us big, and so we need to cut down on the big plays, and that's something that we're really going to be focusing on this week.
Dan Carlson, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the season here on Sports Saturday.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate you guys having me on, and anytime.
All right, absolutely. Thank you so much. And the North Mac Panthers, and I remember when that co-op was formed with Gerard and Verdon, I think pretty much everyone had the same thought. Boy, that's going to be dangerous across the athletic spectrum.
Right, and they haven't disappointed
across
the spectrum. You know, and it was one of those things where the two schools just really didn't like each other very much.
Right.
They really didn't, which is not uncommon with the county, you know, and I was very curious to see how that was going to, where were they going to take that energy, and they obviously had some great leadership in that school when those two came together, that they took that, and they took that pressure and funneled it in a good direction. And how long is the co-op now? Is it, they're going on 12?
No, it's not that. Seven or eight years. Yeah.
And, boy, it's been something that's just really worked out well for that area.
And as far as co-ops go across the state, if Gerard and Verdon can do it.
Anybody can.
Yes, they can.
Anybody can. We were talking a couple years ago about Litchfield Hillsborough perhaps going together and do it. Oh, no way. There's no way. You know what? If Gerard and Verdon can do it, you're right. Anybody can
do it.
Exactly
right. Hey, the Highland FFA Alumni Group, they will be hosting their fifth annual Puttin' Around the Country Mini Golf Scramble next weekend. It's 9 putting holes that will be at various locations in the Grand Fork area on September the 9th. Registration is 9 to 10 a.m. The scramble has a shotgun start at the Grand Fork Fireman's Park. They are looking for four-person teams. For pricing or to register for the scramble, you can contact Renee Barr at 618-521-8375. Teams must supply their own putters, and there will be cash prizes, free food, a silent auction, gravity ball, and spirit award contest. And bring your own putter to the mini golf.
It's interesting because I guess when you go to mini golf, you don't necessarily think to take your own putter with you. But I kind of laugh when you say that, but that's true. People just don't think to bring their putter.
If you go to a regular mini golf course and have your own putter, you're that guy.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't want to be that guy.
Do you have to use a rubberhead putter in this thing?
That's a good question. I don't know.
So because that's what you always get.
I'm rolling with the Pro V.
There we go. That's right. So actually a golf ball made of plastic, not rubber. That's a new approach to mini golf.
Absolutely. So that'll be the Highland FFA Alumni, their fifth annual Puttin' Around the Country. It'll be September 9th. If you're interested, call Renee, 618-521-8375. We're going to take another break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back following these messages.
Now back to the Sports Saturday show.
All right, thank you very much, Randy Prangy. We'll have Fighting Illini football coming up this morning, 10 o'clock. They are entertaining Ball State to kick off their season, 10 o'clock this morning on 105.3 The Ox. We also have Cardinal baseball for you today, and I don't have the sports log in front of me. I think they're playing day baseball today?
Yeah, I believe so.
Day baseball.
2 o'clock start, 2-ish.
2-ish show. Pregame right around 1 o'clock-ish, 105, 110, something like that. 2:10? 2:10, there we go, on AM 1540 and FM 106. Cardinals had quite the game last night. 6-run ninth inning.
Right, well, and boy, I tell you what, they've about given me a heart attack this year.
Goodness.
When you look at the close games, and if they could just win a fraction of those close games, where would they be? How much ahead of the Cubs could they be? Or right in there with them. But it's one that has been a little frustrating. And when you look at leadership moving to the future for the Cardinals, you almost wonder how much accountability he's going to put on Coach Matheny.
The buck stops there, right?
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. And it seems like a lot of it comes late in the game when decisions are made with the bullpen. And I know he's not made a lot of friends in the St. Louis area with some of the decisions he's made. So it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward.
So the Cardinals today against the Giants, they'll look to take the first three of the four-game series in San Francisco. We'll have live coverage this afternoon, 2:10 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. In boys soccer today, the Four Corners Classic in Williamsville will wrap up today, and they are underway right now with the 7th place and 3rd place matches. The 7th place match is North Mac and Taylorville. That's being played at Riverton. The 5th place match is at Williamsville with Plains and Warrensburg Latham. And then this morning at 10:30 will be the championship match in the Four Corners Classic. It's Riverton and Beardstown. The 3rd place match will be played at Williamsville, and that is Sacred Heart Griffin and Williamsville. That is a 10:30 start this morning at the Four Corners Classic. Also, regular season soccer, Hillsborough at Effingham St. Anthony. Gillespie will be at Southwestern. Dan, I want to mention this. I have not confirmed this, so I hesitate to mention it on the radio, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway because I heard it and I couldn't believe it. Edwardsville, last week, winning 42-0. Running clock. They lost. So I was told. I've never heard of that.
They're up 42-0.
That's what I heard.
With the clock spinning.
Yes.
Someone came back on them.
Yes.
And... well, oh my goodness!
What
a lesson in keeping your foot on the gas pedal when the rules are set up to help those teams. You know, the mercy rule, as they call it. But gosh, you gotta still play. And I don't even know what to say. I've never heard anything like that.
I had never heard of that either. I presume it to be true because I trust the source that I heard it from. But that's nuts.
That's, you know, when you look at, because we've got some teams in the conference this year in the South Central. They're going to spin the clock on some people. Mm-hmm. That's a wake-up call that you can't just check out of a game because, wow, 42-0. That's mind-blowing.
It really is. It's a staggering, staggering development.
Never heard anything like it.
No, I haven't either.
No.
And again, I don't know if it's true, but that's what I was told. So, and a story like that's got to be true, right?
Right. It was probably on the internet. So.
Definitely true if it's on the internet.
It was on Facebook,
there you
so
go.
It's got to be true.
At 100%. Dan, while we have a few minutes left in the show, let's talk about some high school golf, because my goodness, there are some elite golfers in, forget the area, there's elite golfers in the county of Montgomery.
Yeah, right here. It's been a lot of fun, too. We've had a nice rivalry with Hillsborough the last couple of years. Some really great kids and good golfers on both the Litchfield and Hillsborough teams. The Hillsborough boys have taken the upper hand against us, and I like them for a trophy. I love them for a trophy. They were with 4 freshmen and 2 juniors last year. They were in the top 5. So I love them for a trophy. I think they got a lot of character. They're led by Coach Jeff Eichhoff, who is just a character first guy. And when they get in big matches, they perform well. And it's nice for us because we've got that. We see them several times during the year. We read them in the paper. And so we're constantly in that aware moment where we're chasing. We're chasing them at all times. And it makes us better. We have a young man in Alex Bishop who has really, really played well. He started off the year with a tough 85 round down at Belk Park. But since then, and oh gosh, six rounds or 7 rounds, he's won over par. Since that time, winning a big tournament up in Greenview last Saturday, shot 1 under par at Litchfield, and he's got 2 par rounds there, one against the Toppers, in which he beat. He was medalist in that round also, which was a nice feather in his cap against a tough team. So it is. We don't have to go very far to see great golf here in Montgomery County.
And I guess if you want your kid to potentially be a great golfer, all you have to do is name him Alex.
Yeah, right. You got Alex White, you got Alex Eichhoff, you got Alex Bishop. So there's something in a name, isn't there? And it's been great this year because when people are starting to recognize the fact that this is good competitive golf, I've just been amazed at some of the following, that especially that home match we had with Hillsborough there in Williamsville, who's another good golf team. We had a great crowd out for a golf match, and a lot of following, a lot of people watching. We had some high school kids that came out to watch the match, and so there's a buzz here in the county on golf. And it's a sprint season. It's not very long as we get, and we're closing in on the championship time of year with the conference meet going to be at Indian Springs this year. And then regional sectionals, we're waiting for the regional assignments to come out, hopefully here soon, to know where we're going so we can get some practice rounds at those courses. It's going to get very interesting with, you know, we are very much present in the state scene in golf with several very good chances of individual medals and a very good chance of some team trophies as well.
For people who may not be familiar, explain how, like, once you get to the postseason of golf, it works with individuals versus teams advancing.
That's a great question. And it's very similar. Those familiar with cross country, it's a very similar setup with that, other than cross country advances 5 teams from regionals to sectionals and sectionals to state, whereas golf, advances three teams. And so you may be in a regional with 10, 11, 12 teams. Only three are going to make the advancement onto that level. And then what they do is they take the next 10 best players who are not on one of those teams. So you could, you know, you could still have a very good chance at advancing as an individual. And those, obviously those top three teams are going to have very good players. They're out of the way. They're out of the way. So it's a very, I like how that works, because I don't have to be on a great team to still have that opportunity to go on and play at the next level. And so, you know, you got 10 individuals plus the three teams, the 18 kids on that team. So you got 28 kids from each regional advancing on the sectionals. And it gets tight and competitive. It can be in those 10 spots. It can be three or four shots, and it's tough and it's competitive over 18 holes. You've got to stay present. You've got to stay aware at all times. We really coach that during the season, staying in the match, getting past those tough shots, because you never know when, you know, that one putt that you make because you really locked down and concentrate is that one putt that gets you through or that helps the team get through. Cause it gets, last year at our sectional, it was three strokes. Mm. It was a three stroke difference, first, second, and third place. It gets that close.
And no matter if you're just out playing for fun by yourself or with buddies or competitive situation like that, when the round's over, inevitably you think, boy, if I would have just made that putt.
Yeah. Or I don't know how many perfect rounds have been played anywhere where we didn't walk away thinking, oh my gosh, our Alex Bishop has had some great rounds of golf this year. He shot a 34 at our place the other night, and then I witnessed him missing three or four birdie putts that would have put him in the maybe somewhere in the 29-30 range, which is our home course record's 29, for which would have put him right in that neighborhood of shooting the course record. So it's a game of that he lipped out, a game of not inches but micro inches. You know that it can be a difference in, and so it's tough.
Work and practice is important in every sport, and really just in every walk of life, honestly. But golf is such a different animal where, I mean, you need to work at it daily. And talk about Hillsborough. That's what, I mean, they've had like the, sort of the junior golf program working always on the course. And you've mentioned that Alex Bishop sometimes on a Saturday morning beats you to the course.
Yeah, and he's out there. He spends a lot of time on the chipping and putting area, especially the putting area, just hitting putts, setting up devices where he can work on his takeaway on his putt, or on his follow through on the putt, and just really honing that skill. That being good is something now he's got to a point where he is not satisfied with. He wants to get to that next level. He has signed to play with Purdue Northwest next year up in the Chicago area, so he's already looking ahead. To getting to a point, not that he wants to be a good high school golfer. He now is getting himself prepared to want to be a good college golfer. And as his high school coach, I'm just sitting back reaping the benefits of that. Great kid with a great attitude. It's starting to get infectious. You know, we've got other kids on the team now starting to mimic some of the putting drills that he does. I'm allowing him to step in and teach some of these putting drills that they do, and seeing kids. We had two or three kids after our match the other night stuck around and worked on their chipping after playing a 9-hole match. So that's getting infectious where they're seeing the success that he's having. They're seeing what he's doing to get that success. And it's starting to, especially our younger guys, are starting to mimic a lot of those practices. And it's going to be something that we benefit from for years to come.
Have they come out with the postseason assignments yet?
Not yet. They've got the locations. We, as near as I can tell, I think we are looking either going to Shelbyville for regionals, which is a direction I've personally never gone as a coach. We've usually gone south, but going south all the way down, perhaps to West Frankfort for the region. We may, and then the sectional is going to be at Carlisle at Governor's Run, which we played regionals at last year. And so we're looking at potentially at traveling farther for the regional than we do for the sectional. Another possibility is also at Jacksonville at the Lynx. So, and we're kind of right in the middle of all those locations. So I'm very curious to see when that comes out, because two of the courses are courses we've never played on before. And so I know a couple of our kids are wanting to get to them. So I'm very anxious to get those assignments.
If you do wind up at a course that you have never played, will you try to get a chance for your kids to get over and see that course before the regional?
We will. And a lot of the kids do it on their own. Again, the thing with golf kids is they're oftentimes in golf families. Mm-hmm. And so dads who like to, you know, and dads will take them. I know Alex and his dad or his grandpa, either one, will have in the past always got to those courses. And all our kids oftentimes do not make it over. Alex is just meticulous about his note-taking and stuff. We'll come back and we'll sit down as a team, and he will go hole by hole with course guides and making marking up. Here's a bush. Here's, you do not want to shoot, you know, from 150, here's where you want the ball to be. And he's just meticulous about his planning from hole to hole. And he'll come back and really take us to school on all those things that we are, and perhaps a couple of may not have the opportunity because of summer, or I'm sorry, weekend jobs, things like that, to get to these courses. We're going to have a very good idea when we get there what we're doing.
That's awesome. I mean, that level of detail for a high school kid, that's impressive.
Well, anyone's ever played golf before, it's the detail's incredible.
Yeah.
From the rules alone.
Right.
I'm still trying to figure out all the rules and the idiosyncrasies of golf that are present. And, you know, then you get into the swing mechanics. You get into the mental approach to a par five as opposed to a par three. And, there's a lot. There's a lot involved there. And we try to, as much as possible, make them as well-rounded as we can so that we're not only taking care of the physical side of the game, but we're also taking care of the mental side as well. And a big part of that is preparation and knowing the course.
Yeah, absolutely. So the high school golf season, are you halfway done?
We are right about halfway done. From a schedule standpoint, it doesn't look that way, but our schedule alone, we have a really packed about 3 weeks. Well, we're going to pack a lot of matches in about the next 3 weeks, but about halfway, yes. Yeah. So we're looking at getting championship ready because we're at that point.
All right, good deal. Hey, let's run down some of the scores from the South Central as we are running out of time here on Sports Saturday. Carlinville beat Gillespie last night 63-20. Vandalia topped Hillsboro 26-7. Southwestern just got past Litchfield 36-34. Greenville beat Staunton 40-16. And Pena over Roxana 47-32. So through 3 weeks of the South Central Conference, Dan, we've got Carlinville 2-0, Pena 2-0, Vandalia 2-0. Obviously no surprise there.
No, those are the three teams that, you know, last year finished at the top of the heap. And not surprising. And the one I'm very curious about, Pena, graduated a lot of kids last year. And so I was really curious to see how they rebounded, similar to North Mac. It's a very similar situation to the North Mac Panthers. And it seems that so far Pena's landed on their feet. They had a very good JV program last year, so it seems like they're still rolling forward.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for coming in. We look forward to having you on Sports Saturday here throughout the football season. You'll be heading to Bunker Hill next week for South Mac and Pawnee. That'll be an interesting ball game.
I'm looking forward to it.
We will also have Carlinville-Litchfield. That'll be our second broadcast feature next Friday night here on WSMI FM 106. We'll stream it all at WSMIRadio.com. Well, Randy, we got through it. It worked out.
Yeah, great.
It worked. Put a smile on your face. We're okay.
Randy Prane, you're a hero.
We're okay. It worked.
Hero, hardly.
We got there. We got there. The beauty of live radio. So we thanks to all of our coaches who joined us this morning on Sports Saturday. Thanks.
And apologize to the ones that didn't.
Thanks to Randy for sticking around this morning. For Randy and Dan, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville.